try to bring the message that the Lord has laid upon our heart for this evening. I hope it'll be some help to you. Don't expect it'll be anything you hadn't heard before. There's no new thing under the sun. But we're going to try to mind the Lord and give you what God has given us. And that's all Brother Hall can do, is give you what God's given me. And sometimes in services that are real slow, and we have a lot of them, you got to kind of give it slow. So if that's what we have to do tonight, that's what we'll do. And just try to mind the Lord. Okay, 1 John chapter number 2 again tonight. 1 John chapter number 2 in the Word of God. I want to read two verses of Scripture and pick right up where we left off on Sunday morning. And pick up with verse number 22. I want to read verse 22 and verse number 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now may the Lord add His blessings to that. Let's look to Him in prayer. Our Father, I'm so grateful that You've given us the privilege of preaching these past days through the book of 1 John, that great apostle of love, and I'm looking forward, Lord, to getting on into the book, into those great love chapters. And I trust, Lord, that You'll give us a great love fest as we enter there. Help us to recognize the love of God, but Lord, we're not there yet. We've got to deal with what's at hand. And I pray that You'll bless tonight with liberty and power, and help me to be a blessing to Your people. I pray You'll stir up our hearts for Thee, set our hearts aflame for Christ. I pray for the power of God and for liberty. I pray, Lord, for souls to be saved. Lord, how desperate we are for a move of God. We need the Spirit of God to descend upon us in great power, not on us only, but those around us as well, to awaken our community to the great need they have of Christ. Before, Lord, it's too late, and their souls are in a Christless eternity without God and without hope. I pray for liberty tonight. I pray for Your presence. I pray You'll help families. Lord, I pray You'll illuminate us tonight, enrich our hearts and lives, that You'll give us great light on the subject that I'm trying to deal with, and bless us, Lord, as only God can. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read at least a part of verse number 22 again, maybe all of it, I'm not sure. But, I've got to get this voice piece on here. But our dear brother John says there in verse number 22, he said, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He said, "Who is a liar?" Question mark. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Now that's not hard to interpret. That if a man denies that Christ is the Messiah, he is a liar. I mean, it is very simple. I mean, I think everybody understands that. But then he elaborates on that to a small degree, but yet a large degree. When he says the words, "He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Now, I want to take that one word tonight, Antichrist. And I want to try to preach on that subject, the Antichrist. It's a subject that I've never tried to preach on before in depth, and it's not very deep tonight, but it's all I have. But I want to preach on that subject because I think we're living in the last days, and the Antichrist could very well be on the scene, even as I speak to you now, somewhere in this world. Now, I think two of the questions that are always asked about the Antichrist, number one, do you think he's here already in the world? And may I say to you, yes, I certainly believe that he is. I do know that there are many Antichrists, many little Antichrists, already in the world. I know that for an absolute fact. And I know that there is a spirit of Antichrist that is already in the world also. And I'm very confident that the man of sin, the Antichrist himself, is probably, I believe we're that close to the rapture, that he is no doubt on the scene. But the next question they ask is, who do you think he is? And I'll be quite honest with you, I have not the foggiest idea. And I don't intend to try to tell you tonight who the Antichrist is. I think down through the years, many people have probably made some useless efforts to identify the Antichrist. There've been many guesses on it, and I'll give you a few of those in a moment. I think needless to say that none thus far have been enlightened with adequate insight to make the proper judgment of who this man of sin really is. And I'd be a fool if I stood here tonight and told you who the man of sin really is. I do not know. And the reason I don't know is the Bible doesn't say. Amen. Now, when you start drawing definite conclusions from things the Bible does not say, you're going to get in trouble. If you follow what the Bible says and stick to what the Bible says, you'll be all right. The Bible calls him Antichrist, tells us many things about the Antichrist, but God keeps that a secret from us of who that son of perdition really is. God's not really let us know who that is. Now, in the earlier days, the old Puritans, and I love to read after the old Puritans, but they were very adamant, very sure about the fact that the man of sin, or that the Antichrist, this man of sin, was the papacy, or the Pope. They thought him to be the Pope, and I'm not saying that he's not. I've got some serious, serious doubts to that in this generation. But he very well may be. But they were strong about that. They were adamant about that, that he was the Antichrist, was the Pope. And they made that assumption simply upon the false doctrine that was coming out of Rome. But may I say, using that assumption, there's a whole lot of false doctrine in the world today. And there's more than just the Roman Catholic Church teaching erroneous Bible doctrine today. Therefore, that opens up the field to leave us that we might believe in a number of men that could be the Antichrist if we go solely on the fact that it's false doctrine that makes him the Antichrist. Now, when this passed later, those who seemed to have a little more light on the subject, they labeled Napoleon Bonaparte as the son of perdition. And he was a wicked man. He was an ungodly man, a ruthless man. But time proved out that Napoleon was not the Antichrist. Let me say right there, that shows you how foolish people are when they start trying to make dogmatic conclusions about things that the Bible does not tell us. I think somebody said back in 1988, Jesus was coming back in the rapture of the church. Well, that's 20 years ago, and guess what? He hadn't come back yet. That is another secret the Lord keeps in His own mind. I don't know when He's coming back, but one thing I do know, He is coming back. That Bible doesn't tell me when He's coming back. It gives me the signs of the times. It lets me know how things are going to be at that time. But it does not tell me when He is coming back. But it does tell me that He is coming back. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And those that have gone on before us are going to get up out of the grave before us, and then them and us alike will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a wonderful day that is going to be. And so it certainly wasn't Napoleon. Now, when the Kaiser of Germany rose to power, many believed that he had filled the sinful role of the Antichrist. Again, they were proven wrong. Then came along Mussolini, and people thought Mussolini was the Antichrist, and it wasn't. And then come along Hitler and Stalin, and men thought that Hitler or Stalin Either one could be the Antichrist, and neither one of them proved to be the Antichrist. And these all fell by the wayside without Scripture being fulfilled. Now I want to say that it is not being filled today. It will not be fulfilled until he that letteth is taken out of the way, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I believe that he that letteth is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to be taken out of the way when you and I are taken out of the world. When he takes is taken out of the way to prevent the Antichrist from coming on the scene and exalting himself in power, you and I are going to be sitting around, hallelujah, that great table in the sky and enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day that is going to be. Now, strangely enough, the only place that the Word of God mentions the name Antichrist per se is in the writings of John. Nowhere else in the Bible is he ever called Antichrist. He's called the son of perdition. He is called the man of sin. Now, I'm going to touch on those in a minute, but nowhere else but in John. And that amazes me, that astounds me, that overwhelmed my heart when I realized that. And it does because John is the prophet of love. Yeah. He is the apostle of love. Yeah. And yet here he is on touching on a person that is the most ungodly, the wickedest man that shall ever live upon God's planet. He is referring to him before he ever gets over into the love chapters of 3, 4, and 5. And that amazes me. That the apostle of love would talk in great detail about false prophets, Antichrist, and the spirit of Antichrist, and the Antichrist that is already at work in this world that we're living in today. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I'll be quite honest. It'd be rather foolish and fruitless for me to make some kind of an attempt to identify this arch enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to simply concentrate upon the term itself. Antichrist. The Bible said, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." Now, I want to make some descriptive clarifications about the Antichrist. Some things in the Bible that describe him, that clarify him, that gives us some details about him and what we can know about. And somebody said, "Preacher, do we really know this?" I'm going to tell you, you better arm yourselves. Because that spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. And it is a spirit of deception. And I'm telling you, people are falling for a spirit of deception in the world. Do you know what they said on the radio today on the news? They said the other day, come on now, just stay with me a minute. They said when Hillary Clinton appeared on Saturday Night Live, whenever that was the other night, that's what turned the tide and gave her the 3 states she won in the election last night. I said, Lord, Lord, have mercy on America when Hollywood can turn the tail on an election and the people of America will fall for it. I'm going to tell you what, if you will fall for something like that, you will fall for just about anything there is. And I tell you, people will fall for the Antichrist. He is a smooth-tongued, slick-talking, amen, deceitful individual that will mislead people and will mislead them in them believing in him that he is Christ. Amen. That's right. We better arm ourselves and be ready. Now, I'm going to say some things that simply describe him. And clarify him. And I've already mentioned this word, but I won't mention it again, this term. He is labeled as the man of sin. Amen. The man of sin, 1 Thessalonians 2:3.
The Bible said, let no man deceive you. I'd never seen this before. But Paul said, by any means.
Amen.
Don't let any man deceive you by any means.
Amen.
Now, there's a whole lot of means at men's disposal today that they can deceive people by. Come on. And by the way, anybody that's deceived by the Bible, by simply the wrong Bible, don't have much sense. The devil is more cunning than that. I'm not so sure the devil's behind all these translations that we have like everybody thinks he is. I'll hide from you. He's not that dumb. He's smarter than that. He's got better undercover work than the FBI and the CIA put together and Interpol thrown in. This guy is slick. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? He comes a whole lot closer to the truth than what the perverted Bible translations do.
Amen.
Amen. He knows the Word of God and knew it before you did.
Amen.
He used it in the garden on Eve. He used it in the wilderness on the Lord. He knows the Bible. And I'm telling you, there are many means at men's disposal that the Antichrist can use for his deceptive purposes. And by the way, he would deceive the very elect of God if it were possible. That's how smooth he is. I'm telling you, he comes that close to deceiving the elect of God, but he can't do that. You know why? I've been preaching on it. But ye have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. That's what that Bible says. He's not going to deceive the elect. No, sir. He's not going to deceive the elect. Now, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first.
Amen.
And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, that term man of sin literally means that he practices wickedness and he demands it from others.
Amen.
And he will do that. He not only practices sin and lewdness and wickedness, but this fella I'm talking about tonight demands it from other people. Just like Nebuchadnezzar commanded that when they hear the sound of all those musical instruments, they fall down and worship that idol that he built in the plains of Dara. I'm telling you that the Antichrist demands the same thing. He will demand out of people to live an ungodly, sinful, unholy, and a wicked life. And he practices it in himself. That's why he is called. Can you get that? Man of sin. It's not said about anybody else that's ever been born but him.
Amen.
That he's a man of sin. We're sinners. But God does not call us the man of sin. That puts him above everybody else.
Amen.
He is a sinner to the highest degree. He is a sinner to the highest level. He exceeds all sin upon the earth. We talk about how sinful it is to be a sodomite. He's worse than that.
Amen.
You know why? Because he exalts himself above God.
Amen.
He opposes God. Sets himself up that he is God.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Brother, I'm telling you, he's a sinful man. He is called that man of sin. Now, notice this. I just stay with me. I'm just going to try to teach you a few things. He ascends from universal apostasy. I'm telling you, this world is an apostate world that we're living in. The son of perdition shall not come unless there come a falling away first. What is that? It's apostasy. It's people apostatizing from the church of the living God.
Amen.
Going back into the world or into some cult or some false doctrine, but they're leaving what it, what it really is, a master, is a departure from the truth. That great falling away is a departure from the truth. Men have known the truth, but they depart from that truth because they have been deceived by that son, that man of perdition, the Antichrist. Amen. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Now, he's going to ascend from universal apostasy, that falling away. It'll be a decline. We'll be in a decline of spiritual matters. Can anybody doubt that tonight? Everywhere you go, I see it. Brother Matthias' famous term is, we're in universal coldness.
Amen.
I have to say amen.
Amen.
I've been in church a while. I've never seen it as cold. I've never seen God's people as cold-hearted as we are today. So indifferent as we are today. And the further we go down, the closer comes the day when He's going to ascend out of that apostasy and say, I am the spiritual giant that can... Oh, boy, did I open up a keg of worms right there. He may be the guy that says, I'm going to bring a spiritual awakening to this world, buddy.
Yeah.
All you've got to do is follow me. I'm the man for it. You know you're cold on God. You know you're discouraged with what you have. You know you're down in the blahs. And now you know that you've been tried and tempted and tortured and tormented. And I'm the man that's going to offer you a way out of this mess. I'm the man that's going to bring it. I'd be careful. I'd be careful. Stay right with me now. Holy life. A holy life will not appear to be necessary any longer when there's a great falling away. People will think it's all right to live ungodly and unholy. And the reasoning will be, well, everybody else is doing it. No, everybody else is not doing it.
Amen.
See, that's one of his lies. Everybody else doing it. They're doing it. You can do it. If they can watch TV, why can't you? That's right. If you can go to the riverboat and gamble, they can, why can't you? If they can play the lottery, why can't you? If you can drink a little bit, why can't you? If they can smoke a little bit, why can't you? If they can dabble in dope, they can run with women, why can't you? I'm telling you, that is the mess he's going to send people.
Amen.
Holy life won't appear to be necessary. 1 Peter said in 1, chapter 1, verse number 16, you've heard this a million times, but it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know why? Be ye holy? He said, for I am holy. That identifies you with God. God said, you be holy because I'm holy. That identifies you with God. But I'm telling you, the man of sin's way on the other side of the spectrum of that. That's why God tells us, church, to judge righteous judgment. Don't judge on the outward appearance like Samuel did when Jesse's oldest boy showed up and said, surely that's him. The Lord said, that's not him. I've rejected him. He said, don't look on the outward appearance. Look on the heart.
Amen.
Judge righteous matters. Judge by the heart.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that is exactly right. And people today judge, they make judgment on what they see rather than what they know about what the Bible says. If we'll ever learn to make judgment on what this Bible says rather than what our eyes behold, we'll get along a whole lot better, be a whole lot holier, and a whole lot more spiritual than what we are today. Say amen right there. That's right. And so it identifies us. Hebrews 12:14. Said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we're getting there rapidly in our day.
Amen.
When old time holy living is about a thing of the past.
Amen.
You visit some of the churches.
Right.
You visit the people and see how they dress. Amen. Their conduct, their attitude.
Amen.
They're worldly.
I
can name you preachers that are good preachers. And there's men in their churches running around. You see them outside, ball caps on backwards, turned sideways on the head. That's right. I'm telling you, just an awful mess.
Amen.
Some of them have gone to them big, long-legged, baggy shorts on men like these boys out here downtown wear. Say amen right there. And they don't see a thing wrong with it. Oh, they see it. But they're not going to say anything about it. I'm telling you, when the falling away comes, holiness will not seem necessary. You know why? People will get along just as good without it as they did with it. You know why? Because they depend on the buck and what they see the dollar can do for them. That is all they're interested in. They cannot see what God can do for them. I know a lot of preachers today that work jobs and this and that and make a lot of money and they pastor a church. Now, I'm not against a man pastoring a church and working on a job. But most of them work on jobs to satisfy the lifestyle they want and not because they have to. Amen. Now, worship will be replaced with entertainment. Psalm 95 verse 6 said, "Come, let us worship and bow down." When was the last time you bowed down to Him? Let us worship and bow down. I'm not reading from Sears Roebuck catalog. That's the Bible. When was the last time we worshiped and bowed down? That's what worship means. Prostrate. Amen. Sure, I got things right there. Better leave that. Paul's leaving. It's good. Psalm 99:5 said, "Exalt ye the Lord, our God, and worship at His footstool."
Amen.
If you're at His footstool, you're at His feet. Amen. When was the last time we was at His feet, like Mary Magdalene? When was the last time we actually, come to church and sang and prayed and prayed and then worship God at His footstool? Got ourselves humbled down. That's what it takes, is a little humility in our lives. Amen. We're going to have to humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God before God ever blesses us. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Why do we do that? For He is holy. For He is holy. I want to say thirdly, when this universal apostasy begins to creep in, that sound doctrine will be abandoned. Sound doctrine will be abandoned. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2, said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine." Nobody likes doctrine today. You know what people like today? They like the unusual message, the unusual title to a message. Something that arouses their emotions. Something that arouses their mind and causes them to think about something that is really not spiritual, but a title, a thought. And then they like that style of preaching. But I'm telling you what will help you in hard times is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I'm talking about preaching the doctrines of the Word of God. I wonder how many in here, if I asked you to get up and tell me about three things about the doctrine of soteriology, what would you say? Well, what is the doctrine of eschatology? Well, preacher, you ought to tell us all that stuff. I have, if you've listened. People stray from doctrine.
Amen.
And by the way, the word doctrine in itself is simple. It means teaching. So what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying they will with all long suffering and doctrine. That is, you teaching the Word of God.
Amen.
Preach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. Amen. Tell people about the Bible. Instruct them in the Word of righteousness.
Amen.
Whether it hurts or whether it feels good, tell them what the Bible's got to say.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Then it goes on to say, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Do you ever look up that word heap? You know what a heap of something is? It's a pile. They just love to pile them on. Teachers have an itch in ears, one right after another. You know what that means? I always used to think that means teachers have an itch in ears. The teachers itch to scratch the ears of the other people, and that's not what it's saying. They heap to themselves, teachers have an itch in ears. The teachers like to hear their ears scratched. Preacher, that was such a wonderful, wonderful message. You done so wonderful today. And preachers do like to be told that if they've helped somebody. But I'm going to tell you just that I've been around some people, they would think you're the best thing since apple pie and ice cream, and 6 months later they hate your gizzard. You've seen them in here. I mean, they'd like to cut your heart out and offer it up for a burnt sacrifice. You've seen them right here. That thought the man of God was the best thing to ever come along the pike. Oh, I like her straight, man of God. I like her rough, man of God. Straighten out my family out, man of God. And everything was all right until the family got old enough to straighten out. And then they did not like it. Amen. Sound doctrine will be abandoned. Then I want to say he's not only described as a man of sin, but he's described as a son of perdition. This word pronounced, now get this now, and I've got this here simply because of the way I'm outlining the message. This word, and I like it, the son of perdition literally pronounces his judgment.
Amen.
He is certain for destruction. That's why when the Lord left here, he said, I've lost none.
Amen.
Save the son of perdition. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. The Lord said, Judas is headed for destruction. He's headed for judgment. And that word runner down through the Bible every time it's used, it means the same thing. Destruction.
Amen.
Destruction. He's the son of destruction. But here is the real catch to it. He is certain for destruction, and he is an instrument of destroying many lives, many souls, many bodies of other people. Who do you think is behind an alcoholic that will drink himself into an early grave and let his body simply corrode away because of booze? What about people that won't pay a bit of attention to you on cigarette smoking? I've got my oldest brother who turned 72 in January. And his wife, I can call him, and his wife can be off in another room. I ain't got a big house, but she's far enough back in the bedroom, and I can hear her back. I said, Donnie, what in the world is wrong there? He said, she's got emphysema, and she won't lay off of them stupid cigarettes. You know where she's at tonight? Scott County Hospital, second time she's been there in the last 3 months with pneumonia. And they told her, if you don't lay off of them cigarettes, they're going to kill you. My brother told me out of his own mouth. He said, I've said, Ebby, why don't you quit smoking? And said, she'll light up one, put it between every finger. And say, because I like them. I'm going to like them, and I'm going to make you like them. I'm telling people ain't half right.
Amen.
To put something in your lungs that you know will kill you. Well, my grandpa gets nothing. 97 years old, and it didn't kill him. May not have got him, but I can tell you something it did get. I could tell you one that was a member of this church that I preached his funeral. And he laid in the hospital with his hands tied to the rails of that hospital bed, and he'd lay there wide awake, and go, and then start doing this, trying to get to that invisible cigarette in his hand. Don't tell me, and it'll kill you.
Amen.
You know who's behind that? Every time you try to throw them down, you'll be all right. You won't be in that number. You'll be fine. You're all right. I promise you. You better check up and see who's telling you that.
Amen.
Anybody listening? Now this son of perdition. Destruction. He's got devices that he uses. 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be sick, listen carefully, they that will be rich, I'm sorry, fall into temptation and a snare, and into foolish and hurtful lust, which shall drown them in destruction and perdition. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a man making an honest living. But I'm telling you that people today, we live in a society whose hearts are set on being rich.
Amen.
They advertise it on Fox News, on the radio out there. Are you tired of living the normal life? Have you considered investing your money into stocks? Give us your money and let us invested in the stocks. Then they turn them out and say, so when you lose it all, you can be like some other jerks and go blow your brains out. I'm telling you, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting a good paying job. There's nothing wrong with wanting to support your family. There's nothing wrong with paying your bills. But I'm telling you, when a man drives himself overboard over money, trying to be rich, it will first drive him to destruction.
Amen.
On earth, then destruction, perdition in the life to come. Amen and amen and amen, Brother Hall.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus and all the gold they got in the world.
Amen.
His deceitfulness. 1 Peter 3:7, notice this. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition. That is destruction. Perdition, destruction of ungodly men.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, this world is reserved, folks. She's going to burn one of these days with a fervent heat. I don't know when, but I know it's going to. And I'm telling you, ungodly men are going to fried hell. I hate to say that, but it's a fact.
Amen.
Without a man or a woman comes to Christ. Without being born again. Without being saved. Without throwing your care upon Him and allow Him to live His life through you. You're bound for hell, I'm telling you.
Amen.
Headed for destruction. That's what the book says. Now, I like this, the best part of the whole thing. I like it, this, and I'll try to hurry on through these other parts. You've heard them enough. His destruction. Thank God, I'm glad he's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm glad he is going to be destroyed. Yes, sir. Revelation 17:8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He was, but he ain't no more.
Amen.
Shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, wonder who that is, and go into perdition, headed for destruction. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Oh, yeah. Boy, you're talking about a crafty, deceitful fella. But I'm going to take paydays not always on Friday.
Amen.
Son, his paydays are coming. I like when we sang that song, the devil will be banished, Satan, or whatever it is. What is that song we sang? It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Hallelujah to God. There's coming a day when the son of perdition will be destroyed. And he won't self-destruct. God will destroy him. God will destroy him. Hallelujah to the day that he that deceiveth the whole world and men will mock at him. Is he the one that deceived all the nations? They'll look at him in that fiery pit of hell, weakened and brought down to a mere nothing by the power of God, by that sharp sword that goes out of God's mouth. They'll say, that surely can't be the one that deceived all the nations of the world. And God will rear his shoulders back and say, I, the Lord of hosts, who am your shield and your rock
and your high towers. I have destroyed my arch enemy. Amen. The devil himself, the Antichrist, he is in hell forever.
And we'll say, hallelujah. And when the smoke ascends up, we'll say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yes.
What a day. What a wonderful day.
Amen.
Now, the second part, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now, I'll be real quick here. So, not even, it's a little after 8. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The prefix anti is used in various ways in the Bible. Anyway, it means over against. It means contrary to. It means to substitute for. So one who denies that Christ is the Messiah is one who imitates and pretends to be the Messiah.
Amen.
That's what that polite Antichrist wants. I'm God. That's what he's wanted all along. That's what he wanted in heaven when he said, I will ascend above the Most High. That's what he wanted in the wilderness when he said, all this will I give you, all the nations of the world, if you'll just fall down and worship me. You know what he wanted? He wanted to be God. He wanted to be something he can't. And I'm telling you, that is a grievous sin. I don't have time to touch on it. It's people wanting to be something they're not. Wannabes. I know a lot of men. I'm not going to name them, but I could name you some, and you'd know some of them that say they're called to preach. I don't believe they're a bit more called to preach than a billy goat's called to preach.
Amen.
Too many signs against them. And I love them. But you mark her down. But ye have an unction. If they don't have any unction, buddy, they ain't got it.
Amen.
And it's not always loud mouth slobbering preaching like I do. But it's just something you can tell whether somebody's got it. That's just a fact. You can always tell. A man that never studies, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for him.
Amen.
A man that never quotes anybody else will never be quoted. A man that never reads after somebody else will never be read. Some of the greatest preachers in the world have pastored small churches.
Amen.
But they've taken that little flock under their wings and taught them the Bible, knowing that was their assignment from God, and they had to have that unction in order to do it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, notice with me. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I wrote down several things here in that verse along with it to try to... He opposeth, he imitates, he pretends... He does that by opposition. He opposes everything that is godly. Well, I think that the church ought to... Wait a minute, preacher. I don't know about that. Well, I think the church ought to... Yeah, I think it's good, but... Well, all the other church thinks it's good. What's your problem? I just don't think it's a good idea. They oppose everything God wants, the Antichrist does. Everything. Unless it's his idea. And if it's his idea, you better watch it. Because you're headed for trouble, buddy. Come on now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now stay right with me. He exalteth himself above all that is called God. And God is with a capital G. He's not talking about the gods of this world. He is talking about the God of glory. He opposes and exalts himself above the God of glory. or that is worshipped. I could say some things about that. So that he as God, not he as God, but as God in another capital G, setteth in the temple of God. Why is he setting in the temple of God? He's occupying God's place.
Amen.
He would occupy the church if he could.
Amen.
He would occupy the pulpit if he could. He'd run things if he could. He's Antichrist.
Amen.
Amen. And he's sly enough to make her look good, but the end result is destruction.
Amen.
That's right. Now, he occupies God's place, showing himself that he is God. He substitutes for God. Look at me. I'm God. That's what the Antichrist is going to do when he comes on the scene. He's going to sit down in the temple of Jerusalem. For 3.5 years, it's going to be wonderful. At the end of that 3.5 years, he's going to sit down in Jerusalem and he is going to say, I'm God! And you're going to do what I tell you to do.
Amen.
And if you don't do it, I've got this friend called the beast. And I believe the beast is going to be the head of a mighty army. Or else the Roman Empire revised. It could be that. I'm not sure of that. But he'll have a military power that if you don't. And not only that, he's going to have the chip. And he's getting the chip in place. And you'll either take my mark. You will take my mark. Oh, they talk about the mark of the beast. You will take my mark. And that chip may very well be the beginning of the mark.
Amen.
And if you don't, you cannot buy and sell. Nothing. And I'm going to tell you, people that in the tribulation period that are lost, they start seeing their children that are old enough to hear the gospel, didn't make it in the rapture. They start seeing their little ones go hungry. Put it in. They'll take it. I got to hurry. He's one who imitates and pretends to be the Messiah. He's one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, meaning the Anointed One. I don't have these are just simple. If you deny that Jesus is the Messiah, that word Messiah means the Anointed One.
Amen.
In doing that, you deny His virgin birth. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He'll deny his vicarious death. That is to take the place of us. The Bible said in Hebrews 2:9 that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He'll deny his victorious resurrection and ascension. Matthew 28 verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. Guess what? He is not here. He is not here. To deny Him as a Messiah is to deny Him as the Anointed One. No virgin birth, no vicarious death, no victorious resurrection. He's a nobody, Jesus was. But thank God He's a somebody, old Brother Hall. Amen. I'm the nobody that a somebody's going to make somebody else someday. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, that's right. He is one who repudiates his threefold office. If he denies that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, Christ has got a threefold office: prophet, priest, and king. And the Antichrist denies all of it.
Amen.
And here's what he does. He denies as prophet that God is our great teacher and our instructor. He is our teacher and our instructor.
Amen.
Thank God no man ever spake like this man.
Yes, amen.
And he spake and put it in this book.
That's right.
That's why we say no book like this book. So this must be the book. I've heard men say there ain't no place like this place. This must be the place. There ain't no book like this book. This must be the book.
Amen.
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 And that book will teach you. And that book will instruct you. You know why? The Anointed One wrote it. The Messiah wrote it.
To deny his priest is to deny him as priest, is to deny him as our mediator.
Amen.
He's not at the right hand of God. You're a fool to believe that. That's what the Antichrist would tell you.
Yeah.
He's really not there to intercede for you.
Yeah.
That's what the Antichrist would tell you. Oh, but yes, he is.
Amen.
Well, do you really think that as mediator, that somebody is actually sitting in heaven that can be touched with a feeling of your infirmities?
Amen.
Do you really believe somebody up there knows when you hurt?
Amen.
And cares about it?
Amen.
Do you really believe somebody up there knows when your heart's broken and cares about it? Sure there is!
Amen.
Do you really believe there's somebody up there that knows when you're tempted and he's not going to put more on you than what you're able to? Sure there is!
Amen.
He's called our priest, our mediator. There's one God and one man between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. No wonder he came to earth. He came to earth to experience everything that you and I would ever experience in life. So he could know exactly how we feel all the time. He knows how you feel tonight. He knows what kind of problems you're having tonight. And he's the problem solver. I've seen preachers with names on their doors. I'm the problem solver. They can solve their own problems.
Right.
I've heard them get up in the pulpit and say, in camp meetings, if there's a problem around here, I am the problem solver. They can't solve their own problem.
Right. Amen.
Somebody said, where do you counsel from? Right here. I don't offer counsel unless somebody asks. They asked, I'll help them. But I'm not going to pry into your business. But I'm going to tell you what this book says.
Amen.
I'm going to counsel you from right here.
Amen.
You mark it down. If I hear your sin, I'll preach on it, whatever it might be. That's counsel, by the way. They deny him as king. The Antichrist does. He denies him as ruler. Shut up, boy. Your great-grandfather talking. I see you're about as obedient as the rest of them. Notice what I wrote down here. I wrote, anyone who denies that Jesus is the King of the church, the only one who has a right to command and be obeyed,
Amen.
Is an Antichrist. You doubt that, you've got problems.
Amen.
He gives the commands and we come to attention.
Amen.
Say, yes, sir. I'm closing right here. No terms of infamy and condemnation can be too strong to designate the opposers and blasphemers of Christ our God. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall's mean. He talks mean about other people. There's not a bad enough name that you can hang on somebody that blasphemes God.
Amen.
There's not an American word in our vocabulary mean enough to describe somebody that denies that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
He is a liar. He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, and by the way, he hath not the Father nor the Son.
Amen.
There's I don't want to get sound mean. I'm just going to hit this, but there's a whole gang of them around here that believes in the Son, but they don't ever believe in the Father. They believe in the Holy Ghost, but they don't believe in the Father. And if you deny the Son, how can you have the Father when he said, I and my Father are one?
Amen.
When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. Now, people that do that, they are Antichrist. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Let's stand together. He'll deceive you, church.
He'll slip you something in your heart that'll really turn you if you're not careful. I just told you that the Bible says He'll deceive the very elect if that were possible. And ones He can't deceive, He'll influence. He is the archenemy of Christ. He's the archenemy of the church and the archenemy of the Christian. He is the seed of the serpent. And we're the seed of the woman. He's our enemy. I believe He's in the world in His person today. His spirit has been here for years. There's been many little antichrists here for years. But I believe the antichrist is soon to say, I've got the answers to your problems. I can cure the church's spiritual problems. I can heal all the governmental problems. I'm the politician. Beast, false prophet, antichrist, trinity of evil. Father, thank you for allowing me to preach a little bit to you people tonight. I pray that in some way I helped a little to expose the archenemy of God for who He really is and what He is. His antics and demonic ways, persuasive speech, velvet tongue. May you illuminate the hearts and minds of our people. Give them that unction, that understanding that they might know all things, that they never be deceived. Now this ungodly person that would exalt himself above the Most High God. Save sinners now. Deliver your people, Lord. In Christ's name. Amen. What's the page number, Brother George? 167. 167. 167. Well, these are parentals, and then you come right on the mountain. Would you do that? Come on. You got young people in here tonight, you better learn to pray for them. Sharon asked me the other day before she was doing the bulletin board if we were going to do anything for Easter Sunday.